Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word, and I'm joined by my prestigious host with the most, Mr. J.
What's going on, people? What's going on? It's Thursday, throwback.
Yeah, oh. Way throwback. I haven't done a Thursday show ever, but
we gotta make this one. We gotta make this one special.
Oh yeah. So hey, so tell them where we want them to holler at us. What we need them to do?
We need them to first. They need to call 347-826-7435, 347-826-7435, or you can hit us up on the Twitter. What's that Twitter?
Smooth Drama.
All right, say it again. Cause come on now, come on. What is it?
Smooth Drama.
There you go. Or the Facebook. You can hit us up on Facebook, The Smooth Drama Show. Just request us and we'll add you on to the friends list because we're a closed group right now, but we will add you on. So what we got for today, man? What we got going on?
I was going to say, we encourage them email smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com, man.
Yeah, I was going to get to that because as soon as you talk about the email, you know what I'm going to ask them to do.
What are you asking for?
I'm asking for some pictures. That's all. I want to know what our followers look like, what our listeners look like, especially the females. And I say that because the brothers, I know what y'all look like, but what the females look like, because that is honestly. I mean, come on now, don't go there. You know what I'm saying? I'm only catering to the ladies out there because that's the majority of our listeners, so I do have to acknowledge them. The brothers just sit back like, oh, man, I'm not even going to act like I listen to the show, but even though I do really listen, I don't really be listening. Whereas I'm already getting feedback, there's a lot of lady listeners out there like, y'all are crazy. Y'all just talk about anything. So I'm going to roll with that. Hey, ladies, how y'all doing? It's Mr. J. Already 2 minutes in with it, and we're going crazy already.
We're going crazy already. I have to do a shout out to our conspiracy theorist listeners. In the past, folks have accused me of being a little paranoid,
just a little bit.
I mean, but just a little there's some folks biblical, sign of the times, end of days type stuff. Mark of the Beast stuff. So, in order to make it sound good, there's an Argentine club that's launching the microchip for fans. So, for all you football lovers out there, the Argentine side Tigers have launched the Passion Ticket, which is a microchip that you can have implanted in your skin.
Okay, yeah. I haven't lost me. You're talking about an Argentine soccer team has launched a microchip. A sports team launching a microchip that does what?
That will get you in the game. It will
the
stadium.
So like you're there live action.
No, you get in the game. You don't need tickets or ID or anything. You can just walk up and the turnstile is going to open for you because you got your chip.
Yeah, that's not even conspiracy. That's more like Big Brother playing around with whatever technology they're playing around with, and pretty soon we'll all be robots. That's what that is. That's not even a conspiracy theory. That's just technology going too far and people trying to take it too far.
So what are you trying to say? So you're trying to say that basically what I've been saying about conspiracy theories and my paranoia is right?
No, I'm not. You know I ain't gonna co-sign on to that.
Come on, man. See, you supposed to
I'm
be
just,
there.
No. Okay, I'll just say this much. I'm just gonna say this much. I stay away from conspiracy theories for the most part because the people who you normally argue with or debate with over them never seem to have all their, all their facts straight. So it's like you're arguing. It's sort of like you're just arguing with the wall. Seriously, I'm not saying that you, I'm not saying you in particular. I'm just saying in general, if you ever notice when you talk to people about certain things, like, for instance, the most recent one I'm seeing now is the whole situation with, surrounding Prince's death. All these different theories are coming up. Bottom line, the only one that I would truly go with is that they did find some drugs, in his room or whatever, some Percocet or whatever, and they're confirming that prior to his death and prior to his illness, he was addicted to Percocet because he had some health issues, mainly regarding his bones and pains and all that from, and dancing and just injuries from that. With that being said, it's not a far-fetched theory to think that maybe possibly he may have overdosed. But anything beyond that, like the ones where they're talking about, wait a minute, like the ones where they're talking about because he got all the rights and ownership, to his music and everything, now all of a sudden Warner Brothers sent some guys out to kill him. That's what I'm talking about, that kind of craziness.
But he already has all the rights, so it's not going to Warner Brothers.
But wait a minute. Okay, see, my point is, how do you prove that after he got the rights to his own music that a record company sent somebody out to kill him? How do you
prove
that? Where would the benefit be?
Yeah, but they would send somebody to kill him before he got the rights. Duh.
Okay, see, you know what? That's why I don't get into this whole, because nobody knows what really caused his death, and yet everybody's going to have speculation, which is sort of like an assumption.
I don't really care.
Okay, what's next? What's next?
Well, I mean, bye-bye to the selfie. They're going home. They're flying south for the winter. Oh, it's not winter time. It's summertime.
Oh, they lost Atlanta. Okay, boo-hoo. All right, I shed a tear.
I just wanted to shout out to all the Celtic fans out there. Yay. No, anyway.
No, but you know what? I mean, let's just get this out early in the show. The other night, I can't remember his name, but he plays on Houston. Before the game, I don't know if it was the day of the game or the day before the game. Perry, what's his name? Yeah, that guarantee. Yeah. That was stupid. That was, I will admit, that was the dumbest move he could make. And especially, okay, if you're going to guarantee something like that, even if, well, in this case, Houston lost, even if Houston only lost by a couple of points, I wouldn't be mad at him because at least he tried, they tried to really win. But to get blown away by 30 points.
Right.
And you know who didn't even play?
Right. I mean, you got smoked in supposedly the most important game of the year. I don't even get it. But
I didn't even watch the game. I think Harden showed up. That's it. Everybody else on the Houston team didn't.
Yeah, I mean, that team is dead anyway. So we're wasting our time talking about dead folks.
There we
that
go.
Are alive.
Let's get those ones back.
Yes. Now, I saw a stupid study. You know how I love my stupid studies. Where they AT&T did a study.
I was about to say something, but go ahead.
Yeah, uh-huh. You start that. AT&T did a study in March. 2,000 Americans, what would they do to stay connected? And so 15% of the people surveyed said they forgo human interaction before getting rid of the internet. 20% said they give up love. Those are ugly people, by the way.
Yeah, they. 30, yeah.
Yeah. 50% said they would let a stranger die if it meant holding on to their internet connection. And 65% said they would rather not have the cure for cancer before giving up the internet. That's some sad shit.
Well, you have to understand that, okay, the people that do these studies, companies or whatever, for the most part, have nothing else better to do but to do these dumb stuff. And it's not even the companies that I blame. I blame the people that respond to the study.
Well, that's what we talk about.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, when you talk, I'm a forego human interaction, I'm like, you probably don't get a lot of human interaction anyway. So big deal.
Well, these are the same people that, I don't know, that put these stupid videos up on YouTube, I know this is going to sound far-fetched, but, cat lovers, and they'll make videos just the cat sitting around the house, all that. These are the type of people that answer those types of surveys, seriously.
Yeah.
Sweater knitters of America,
I got something even better than that. Thailand has a new little phase going on where you can Thailand.
Oh boy.
Yeah, you can adopt what they're calling a Lukthet doll. And it's like they call them child angels. They're large, lifelike dolls. And they're called Lukthet.
Yeah, I've seen some of them things before. Not just the Thailand war, the Thai ones, but I've seen, they make them like Caucasian babies, African-American babies or whatever. Those things are freakishly scary. Like, they look too lifelike.
Right.
And
well,
I saw
Thailand. Well, Thailand is famous for its unique tourism. Is the pedophile paradise.
It's a pedophile paradise, yeah.
Right. So, they go there so they can have sex with little boys. And so when I see a whole bunch of people adopting little lifelike dolls, I'm just thinking, is that an extension of Thailand?
It probably is. And, if it's big over there. If it's big over there, I can guarantee you there's a certain segment or a certain percentage of their customers, like a large percent of their customers are coming from here. And they're probably middle-aged white men who used to belong to the Boy Scouts who can't get no play, ain't never seen Trim since Trim seen him, them type.
Yeah, I don't think
never got laid. Never got laid. Couldn't even pay to get laid. Yeah, them type. But wait a minute. They'll claim that they're not gay, and people say no. There's a difference. Okay, I don't care what the difference is. My thing is, if you get turned on by having any type of intimate relationship with a little boy or a little girl, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. You need to be castrated.
Because that argument is normally the prisoner's argument. You have them dudes in prison who, and I don't think I've ever told this story on the air, so I got to tell it. I had this homie, not going to name him because he's crazier than the mother, and if he was accidentally listening, whatever your name is, I'm not saying your name. This dude, you're playing basketball and you're waiting on winners, right? Him and another guy were arguing about the winners. So what does he say when the game's over? Dude's like, I got next. He's like, look, man, here's what's going to happen. I got next. And if you don't get off the court, I'm going to take your clothes off and fuck you right here at center court. Those were his words. Right there on the spot, we're like, yo, hey, man, chill out. But He was
I would have just dropped the ball and said, here, I don't want to play no more.
Well,
I'm out.
You know, dude was standing there, and we were like, hey, man, you got to get the fuck up off the court because we do not want to see that. There's no
pretty much, yeah. That's not something we came over here to see. We don't, no. No,
right.
That's okay.
And dude was standing there, and he thought about being tough, and then he like, the reality is this dude is going to rape you on the basketball
he's
court.
He's going to do it in public in front of everybody. He has no shame.
And I mean, because he walks up to him, and he loosens his belt. I'm like, hey, come on, man.
Yeah, that reminds me. That reminds me of that, what's that show on, was it on TLC or A&E where they go visit the prisons? And there was this one dude over there in Kentucky, that black guy from Kentucky, who openly admitted on camera how they prey on, you know, dudes, you know, and how, you know, he's got like, I don't know how long his sentence was, but he, you know, he told the producers on the show how he purposely looks for certain types of dudes because he knows he can break them. And I'm like, you know, that's some, okay, anyway, no, I'm good. I'm good.
I think you need a break because I got to get that image out of my head all of a sudden. this is still a fight. Ghetto Gospel. Lord have mercy.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Together you got to drummer. Smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. We seem to have lost Mr. J, but I'm sure we will get him back here in a second. That was Killer Mike. Ghetto gospel, because you got to have some gospel in the ghetto sometime, right? In the meantime, give me a call, 347-826-7435. That's the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And as Mr. J asked for earlier, if you're feeling froggish and you want to leap, feel free to hit us up, smoothdrama at smoothdrama.com, because he wants to see pictures of y'all. I know what y'all look like. Y'all all ugly. No, I'm playing. But feel free to give us that email. Or if you're listening live on the show, feel free to jump into the chat room. You know, your questions, comments, concerns will be taken in the chat room also. So once again, Mr. J is back. And trust me, he is anxiously awaiting pictures. Because he wants to promote. What are you trying to promote here, Mr. J?
Look, I'm trying to promote this calendar for 016, 017. Come on now, don't act like you know the Smooth Drama Show calendar. I'm looking for ladies as well as gentlemen. You know, before last year, we were trying to just do the ladies, but now we're going to try to make it a little bit fair for both. We're going to get, you know, ladies and men involved. Now, here's how you do it. Ladies, you can always just inbox me or Smooth at the drama, at Smooth Drama Show. You can inbox us, or you can hit us up on Twitter. We'll tell you how you can get those pictures to us. Fellas, the same thing. You can hit us up. You don't really have to inbox us, but, you know.
Smooth Drama at smoothdrama.com. This dude trying to put y'all on blast. Don't stop it. Stop it.
No, but for real. We got some T-shirts. What we're actually looking for, you know, to help the show, promote the show, and just, you know, get the word out there. We are looking for people who, you know, wouldn't mind even supporting the Smooth Drama
T-shirt.
You know, we'll send it out to them. Now, here's, you know, all they got to do is when they receive it, all they got to do is put it on and rep the city where they located with them wearing the shirt, and we put you on the page. That's it. How hard could that be?
That is not hard at all.
Because we will be at a city near you soon. I mean, we're coming from both coasts. He's on the West Coast, I'm on the East Coast, and eventually we're going to try to get around, you know, do some spots down in L.A., do some spots over here on the East Coast, Atlanta, or wherever, you know, huh?
No. See, you missed it, man. See, East Coast, West Coast, we're trying to meet you in the middle. It was right there. Well,
where do you consider the middle? What, St. Louis?
Nah, man. Just the middle. It's a metaphor, man.
Just the middle?
Come on.
Oh, damn. I went someplace else with that. I missed that. I'm sorry. I got carried away.
Okay.
Come on. It's my second day back. It's my second day back.
You're in that calendar mode. I get it.
I'm always going to be in calendar mode.
Y'all see,
I walk in the store and look for models. You know, I don't care.
Right.
I'm always looking for models. Excuse me, man.
I mean, speaking of models, I got Hillary Clinton. You know, because folks was talking about Hillary Clinton and how she panders to everybody, and they think, oh, you know, she's playing domino, got the hot sauce. Everybody's like, oh, she pandering to black folks. You know what? Let me put your mind at ease, black folks. It ain't just you. Hillary Clinton is making promises to the UFO believers and all the conspiracy theorist people out there. She says if she's elected president, she's going to open up the government UFO files because she's personally interested in it.
If that's all she's going to do when she gets in the office, then, you know, come on now. I'm sure when Bill was in office, you know, he already opened those files. At least he had a peek.
No.
I think
see,
Obama
not,
had a peak.
You're not understanding what we're saying. She's saying to the conspiracy theorists out there that, hey, I get elected, I will open up the files and let you see it. Never mind she ain't opening up her emails and none of that shit. But if you want to see the UFO files, vote for me, and I got you. See, Hillary's just, she all over, she ain't just about hot sauce and Diamond Mills. She about the UFO too. She will bend over for anybody.
Can I ask you a question?
Ask me a question.
Why are you the only one that's so excited about that?
I'm not excited about it.
Okay,
I'm just pointing out the fact. No,
all
I'm
right,
pointing out the fact. She don't care. She will pander to anybody. See, because most folks thought, oh, she's just pandering to black folks. No. She is pandering to dudes who sit in their basement all day with their drawers around their ankles thinking about UFOs.
Well, yeah.
She,
yeah. I mean, you're right about that. Yeah.
That's all
well,
I'm
she,
saying.
She's pandering to any and everybody she thinks that can get her in office. That's all. I mean, that's politics.
Right.
Now, for those of us who care, okay, for those of us who don't, those of us who's going to vote, those of us who won't, it is what it is. You know,
yeah.
I haven't really stopped putting a lot of interest in this, you know. The more, put it this way, the more Trump gains in the polls as far as, you know, the Republican Party, the less interest I have, because I can't believe he got this far. And it's really scary, the people that are voting for him, because that just tells people like you and me that, you know, if he is elected, there's going to be a whole lot of shit that's going to go down. I'm telling you.
I'm going to disagree with you because,
okay.
One, Donald Trump, is not going to get, you haven't seen.
Well,
what
I mean,
happened.
I know deep down inside he's not going. I'm just saying if there's a possibility that he does get in.
Hold on. It's a little bit deeper than that. So since you're making me do this, I'm going to have to go all the way in. And because
you do
actually,
this now.
You're making me do this. It's,
okay.
It's the hater of the week. You know, hater of the week is Ted Cruz and John Kasich. You know, they teamed up, they collaborated together along with the establishment. The establishment have made it where, and if you haven't been paying attention, there's a new rule where the delegates can vote for someone else, even a write-in candidate, not of the popular choice's approval. So what they've done is they can put in those delegates. You know that electoral college that nobody has ever been to, never got a scholarship to? Well, that electoral college allows them to take the people's choice, which is Donald Trump. And, you know, for most folks, it's not a big deal because they hate Donald Trump. But see, my point in the argument is this. If they can do this to a candidate that you hate, what happens when there's a candidate that you like and they can do this same thing? The delegates.
I'm surprised that they're doing it now. Why didn't they try to attempt this, like, you know, when Obama? Oh, yeah, they probably did try to attempt it when Obama was running both times.
No. See, do you understand the precedent that's being set here? So you have to take
I do
the precedent.
Understand, yes.
You have a candidate that is so vile and so foul that folks won't even argue the point because they're like, shit, it's Donald Trump. We hate his ass. But the point is, Donald Trump got voted in by popular vote. People voted for him. Whether we like the choice or not, at the end of the day, he's the people's choice, and that should be respected. There's a point in that. But when they circumvent this, he doesn't get the nomination. Think about that for a second. In the future,
well,
you have a candidate that you like. And he doesn't have a chance. Not that he has a chance to be president anyway, because the Electoral College that we don't get scholarships to or don't even get to visit the campus.
They've already determined. They've already made a decision on that. But I'm
right.
just going to say this, and let's just move on. If, okay, regardless, whomever gets into office, you got to look at it this way, especially with the Republicans. This was something that was in the making way back when they created the Tea Party. When the Tea Party didn't exactly... And, you know, the years since the Tea Party has been, I guess, around, it ain't been around that long. This is just the next level after the Tea Party, if you think about it. Because the Republicans are the people, those Republicans that are going against the norm and putting their vote with Trump, those are the ones that aren't happy with the other, obviously they're unhappy with the other candidates, you know, who happen to be Republican. But these are also those basically undereducated, you know, lower middle class Caucasians that are feel as though they're not being represented the right way. That's who these people are. Yeah.
Well,
that's the majority of them.
Right. So I mean, you know? Now On a side note, you know, I don't know if you've seen, there's this woman who was on the Maury Povich show.
I don't even watch the show anymore, so.
No. What I'm saying is she was said, and her name is Cersei Hayes, and she's from Natchez, Mississippi. She went viral because she looks like Ted Cruz. So, because she went viral, they have offered her a 6-minute porn for $10,000 because she looks like Ted Cruz. Now, my thing is this. I'm like, so who are the people going to be watching this porn? I'm like, so are you going to watch that porn and are you going to be masturbating thinking about Ted Cruz?
There's somebody out there that will. Probably the people that offer the money to make it.
I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that one. I'm like, so you're gonna watch the porn because she looks like Ted Cruz?
Man, I mean, come on, that's the worst. You know, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I mean. It is what it is. It, you know, there are worse things out there that could happen. There's, you know, but if somebody wants to watch it, hey, have at it. Enjoy. That's all I can say.
I'm just trying to make your stomach hurt. That's all.
No, it's not working.
It's not working.
It's not working. No, but you know what else? What else you got on? You know, you got up next? What's next?
It's that
347-826-7435, 347-826-7435. Give us a call. Go ahead. What are you saying?
It's my favorite time.
And that time would be?
It is the time for the dumbass of the week.
Oh, I like that one. You've been working on that. Okay, you're excused. You've been working on that, huh?
I've been working up that day. That's old school right there.
Okay.
And the dumbass of the week is Richard Payne, director of security for the Douglas County School District in Colorado.
Why is he the dumbass of the week?
Well, this dude felt like, you know what? In order for us to take a proactive approach to security, he went out and spent $12,000 on 10 Bushmaster long rifles so he can give to the officers so they can have a tactical advantage just in case there's a serious incident at the school district.
What is his position at the school district?
He is the director of security.
And
so he
this
went out.
Includes, this, this would encompass, I guess, what, K through 12 throughout that school district, right?
Yep. All 86 schools and 67,000 students. He bought his security, his the officers, so that they can have a tactical advantage. He bought 10 rifles.
Nobody has asked for his resignation as of yet.
Nope. Yep. He felt like, you know, this is something that we need. I mean, apparently, Colorado is gangster.
Well, yeah, they've had their fair share of shootings lately. You know, the movie theater, Columbine, you know, they've had some serious situations go down, but... Okay, how does he really think that, even if it's just one high school, giving, you know, some security officers some high-powered rifles is really going to deter one or many, you know, either one gunman or a few gunmen from doing whatever it is they got to do?
He says it's going to give them that tactical advantage that they need, and...
Just the way he's wording his response, that tactical advantage, tells me right then and there that this dude, number one, obviously is pro-gun, and I'm not even going to get into that whole pro-gun thing, but he's, in my opinion, he's the type of dude that you don't need the head of your security. Because if he's pretty, I mean, come on now, he's spent X amount of dollars on some high-powered rifles, really?
Really?
I mean, I don't even know where to start with this argument. It's like, okay,
there's no
one. You know.
He's sincere with his.
All
right. He's sincere with his. He's like, you know what?
And I know this is going to sound mean, but this is where I'm taking it. This is a white man, right?
I would take a 99.9% educated guess that he is.
Right. Okay, my point is, if this were a black school executive, the head of security or whatever, that took the same position, did exactly what he did, do you truly think that this dude would still have his job?
Well, hold on. He was authorized by the superintendent, Liz Fagan.
Doesn't matter. Do you still think he would have his job? I don't care if the state superintendent authorized it. The governor can still, you know, outrank him. My point is, do you think if it was a brother that did that, do you think he would still have his job? Let's say the superintendent was black. Do you think that he would have his job? No.
Well, hold on, because you've got to remember the racial dynamic. If he's the superintendent, well, the head of security over a white district, yeah, he would get fired. But if he was over a black district, they'd be like, carry on, brother.
No, because if you want to, I mean, we're kind of digressing from the point. But if you want to make that argument, let's take a school district like D.C. or Chicago. I'm talking about Chicago City School District, where the majority of the students are, you know, of color. And let's say you put two blacks or one black, you know, whatever, in those situations. I honestly believe the person of color would have got let. He would be under so much flack. He or she would be under so much flack for doing something like that. Like, you're right, because of the dynamics in the environment, the demographic or whatever. Yeah, where he's at out there in Colorado, Rocky Mountain High, of course they're not going to say too much about it. But had it been the same location, but you have a black person doing that, making the decision, or, you know, telling his subordinates, you know, I'm going to get these guns for you, whatever the case is. Oh, he'd be gone. So my whole point is, why is there no, you know, regardless, black, white, pink, blue, or gray, why is there no, like, outrage? Why is nobody speaking out on this?
Well, because there's no outrage, because the citizens feel like,
you said, the demographics, more than likely, because there is probably majority white, and yeah, okay.
And also, remember, they're ones in danger. I mean, inner city, you don't really hear about this in the inner city. This is the outer city problem.
Okay, right. But in inner city, if you're talking about inner city gang, inner city violence, Most of that does not happen in the school. It happens in the surrounding area of the school, right, where it's more or less the police jurisdiction. It's the police's jurisdiction. I'm sure that where this is taking place, they're arming these guards inside of the school, these security officers in the school. So that means that these boys are walking around with high power rifles in the school.
Right, ready to shoot.
I don't think I'd be too comfortable with that if my child was going to school. I'm sorry, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't think either one of us would be.
Because and I'm gonna call it what it is, and I hope we got some listeners that want to chime in on this. You know, some of these white boys, you know, come on now. You know, they quick to pull the trigger. They just quick to pull the trigger, and God forbid it if they're ex-military. Oh, now they're gonna have flashbacks. They didn't get to kill anybody when they were over in Afghanistan. Now here's their chance.
We gonna take a break on that one.
All right.
Fire shot. This is Paris. Lethal warning shot.
Man, well.
Together you got to move, drummer, smooth drum. drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word, and my prestigious co-host, Mr. J. That was Paris, Bay Area, stand up, putting out them shots. Lethal warning shots in the building. Now, I think they don't want them kind of shots. I don't think they want Paris as their head of security. Might be some problems. But anyway, give us a call. 347-826-7435. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Email smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Questions, comments, concerns. We don't just want your thong shots. We will take questions, comments, and concerns also. In the meantime, NCAA, as always, doing what they do. They have come out and there was a notice of allegations for the North Carolina basketball program. Well, not just the basketball program, their whole program in general. Mr. J, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a North Carolina had paper classes, so-called paper classes, where athletes were enrolled, but they never went. They never did any papers, but they received grades for them. And there was a 11-month investigation. And basically, the NCAA is like, yeah, they didn't really do too much. So
they make the big hoopla over what? I mean, the same thing going on at UNC is probably going on, and that we're just talking like the major school, the big name schools. I can guarantee it's probably going on at least 75% of all the, like, when I mean big name, I mean, you know, the big schools out there. And if they're not doing anything, if they're not, you know, penalizing UNC in any way, they're not penalizing a lot of these schools. And the only reason why it probably came out and, you know, it was probably reported is because somebody tried to make enough noise to bring attention, you know, to bring some attention to it. But,
well,
you
there
know, come on now.
To it. But hold
well,
on.
Yeah.
Here's in Louisville, the beginning of the year, Louisville got banned from the tournament totally because they had escorts. I mean,
well, again,
see,
what
we're talking about, which one is more egregious? If you're saying kids getting blowjobs is worse than kids not going to school,
No. I'm not saying that at all. I mean, you got to look at it this way, and the reality of it is this: UNC probably had more money to pay off whomever to make that go away. University of Louisville, I'm not saying that they didn't have the money, they just probably didn't go about it the right way. Plain and simple.
Yeah. I mean,
and that's all it comes down to.
Yeah, it's just sad that this is nothing. This is nothing at all.
Well,
I mean, it was a big
yeah.
deal when kids had sex. I'm like, so them having sex had nothing to do with the school whatsoever. I mean, could they say,
right,
oh, we
but
gave
you
more.
Also, but you, okay, number one, you also got to look at who, at, not so much the program, but you got to look at who was involved. The majority of the kids on that team are young black males. So, if it had been a team from Indiana, and let's say most of their team, you know, which is always mostly, is like 60-40, even if their star players, you know, their star players are black, most of the team from Indiana is white, but they got a few stars, you know, they got a few black players. But let me finish.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if this had been, like, say, for example, I can't even say University of Kentucky, but I'm just saying another school where the majority of the student body or the majority of the students were white, it would probably still have come out, but the sanctions would not have been this tough.
There is no toughness. They are not being sanctioned. The point was, and
no,
you,
I'm talking about university.
Up,
University of Louisville got sanctioned.
Yeah, they got
banned
sanctioned
from the tournament. Yeah,
right. But see, North Carolina should be that they won the title.
They
the
should.
Year that
they should have been. Yes, they should have been. But like I just said earlier, they had enough money to grease the right palms and make it go away.
Okay. Well, we just gonna move on from that because we can argue for the rest of the show on that.
Well, no, we're not arguing. I'm just saying that's how it was taken care of.
Yeah. Well, speaking of being taken care of, this is something I just had to talk about. Police union chief, sucker, fucking sucker. I ain't even gonna say his name, but the president of Cleveland Policemen Patrol Association said that the family should use the settlement funds on gun education for kids. And I'm sitting there
talking about
like,
you talking about the guy that's the head of the union of the of the kids who killed guy who killed Tamir Rice.
Yeah, Tamir Rice. His
Tamir,
family.
Tamir
got,
Rice. I'm sorry. Yeah.
He got a $6 million. They got a $6 million settlement. And what ends up happening is this guy comes out and says, "Oh, they should use some of that settlement on gun education for kids." The kids not out shooting people.
Well,
the kids not-
okay. Number one. Consider the source. Consider who said it. And then, you know, obviously he's defending his officer who clear as day in the video shows him getting out not even 2 seconds after arriving on the scene, pulling gun, pop, 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 little boy's dead.
Right. Right.
I mean, I mean, what more can be said about that?
Yeah, well,
what more can
what
be
saying.
Said?
I'm talking about the hypocrisy of his punk ass coming out and having the nerve to say, "Oh yeah, you should use some of the settlement funds on gun education for kids." Nah, the kids don't need gun education. It's your punk ass officers shooting kids, unarmed black folks who need education.
We can take that all the way over to the situation in Chicago where the brother, you know, the brother that was shot in the back, you know, all the other cops hold up from shooting, and this one cop gets out the car after all the other cops are there already, and he pulls his gun and pop, 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 pop. You know, or we can go all the way to Ferguson. Well, you know, the young brother, you know, when he got shot, and then the cop goes, you know, they take him off of duty. And eventually, I think he left the force, and he's still collecting money.
All right, we could go on. We could do a 5-hour show just naming off where
just naming cops,
shot.
Right? Yeah.
Unarmed black folks, just out of the blue. Right.
No justice, no peace.
No justice, just us getting shot and killed. Period, point blank. But, you know, I've been talking about this, and so Obama has decided to go to Flint. There's a little girl.
You mentioned that the other day,
And a little girl named Mary Capone, who is 8-year-old, who sent a letter saying, you know, she wanted to meet President Obama and talk about the water. So he's going to Flint, Michigan, Wednesday, May the 4th, and he's going to tour the city.
Well, at this point, it's just a photo op. I mean, I'm not going to even – I mean, I understand what you're saying, but it's like, you know, unless the Obama administration or the Justice Department, I can't even say Obama, I'll just say the Justice Department, is doing some stuff behind the scenes that we don't know about with that new hit, you know, the girl that the woman that replaced Eric, you know, the old Attorney General, unless she's doing some things behind the scenes that we don't know about, I'm just going to say this much. The government dropped the ball on this, because not only should the governor have been indicted, everybody involved in that whole situation should be under some type of indictment, plain and simple.
Well, yeah. They're indicting them, but are they going to get charged?
And the person that gets charged is probably going to be some little peon, like down the ladder someplace, who really was only doing what his supervisors told him to do, or told him not to do.
He hit the switch.
Exactly. But those that made the decision not to go with the other water company when they had the chance to.
The thing was, when they found out that it was poisoning the people, they didn't stop it because they knew it for a while.
They've known it for a while. Yeah.
And so my point in this is every week we gonna talk about this monkey shit, because this is not right. And so every week, I don't care, Flint. Folks,
I got no problem. What we should do is try to reach out to some people, some listeners from Detroit or the Michigan area, and have them call in.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a time difference between you and me, and we're Detroit. I think Detroit is like an hour behind me and 2 hours ahead of you. But yeah, we should try to get some people to call in, that are personally affected by this.
Listeners, if you know anyone from the Flint, Michigan, feel free to have them hit us up. We'd love to talk to them, and we'd love to give them a voice where we know they're not giving a voice anywhere else to talk about.
Direct them to the Facebook page, the Smooth Drama Show. Shout out that email address.
SmoothDrama@smoothdrama.com. It's real simple and plain. We want to give the people a voice. That's why we're here. And on that note, thank everybody for listening.
We'll be back next Tuesday.
Yes, we definitely will. And for my main man, Mr. J.
Send those pictures in. Hit us up on the Facebook. Hit us up on Twitter. Email us. Do what you got to do. Get at us.
I am Mr. F the N word from my prestigious co-host, Mr. J. We out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hair.
Where the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama.